song. Our Bibles are open tonight to Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Let me encourage you to stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Looking forward to O is for obedience. You put it right there, son. That'd be fine. O is for obedience. As we go through the ABCs of the Christian life, I have really enjoyed going through and just discovering those and teaching those foundational truths of the Christian life, the ABCs of the Christian life. And I tell you, I think if you get a hold of it, really, really will be a help and a blessing to you. Are you in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, church? The Bible says there, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." He said at one point or another that you were lost, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, you had no hope of salvation, you were disconnected from God, you were hopeless, you were helpless, you were miserable, you were unable, but thanks be unto God, you were servants of sin, but thanks be unto God, you used to be this way, but thanks be unto God, y'all getting the message tonight. Amen. Now, because you have obeyed from the heart the doctrine that you received through the preaching of the gospel, but thanks be unto God, amen, you were that way, but now you're something altogether different. Amen. I'm no longer a slave of sin, I'm a servant of God.
Amen.
Father, we ask that you bless the preaching tonight, bless the hearing of it. Let us go out of here ready to obey you at all costs. Lord, if it's popular, help us to obey you. If it's unpopular, Lord, help us to be instant in season and out of season. God, we thank you for the air conditioning, but I want to obey you even when it's 80 degrees. Lord, if it's 64 degrees, I don't want to obey you any less. I don't want to obey you anymore. Just help me to be obedient, Father, to do what you call me to do. In Jesus we pray, and we all say, amen. Now let me introduce this thought to you tonight. It would be a short thank you to direct my gratitude to my earthly parents for causing me to become a servant of the Lord, no longer a servant of sin. It would be a dull thank you to the ministers in my life who have sought throughout the years as a young teenage boy to straighten me out and to leave off my sinful ways. It would be a discouragement, to say the least, if I were to give credit to some system or some nameless idol that I would give credit for my conversion unto. Y'all get the point? He didn't say anything else other than but thank be unto God. He said, but God be thanked. Not my parents, not my tradition, not any of them things. Friend, I want you to know at the end of the day, the only thing that can save a person from their sin is God. It ain't in necessarily even in the preaching. It ain't even necessarily in where you're at. It's all of God. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. And I want you to know, friend, if you're into politics or if you're into protesting out there today, the only thing that can save you and bring peace and hope and joy in your life is God in heaven. But God be thanked is what it said. God be thanked. I'm not going to hold my breath. You ain't going to take my testimony away. Thank God for what you've done in my life. With my whole heart. There was a time when Jesus stepped into a boat, slammed, shaking in the waves of chaos, when he said, "Peace, be still." The Bible says the winds and the seas obeyed his voice. They got it back into the boat with Jesus and they scratched their head. And then they began to worship him when they saw from chaos and confusion to calm and peace. And they said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?"
Amen.
There was a time when in the middle of a Jewish church service that we preached not too long ago, I believe this very year, there was a man who came into that Jewish church service with an unclean spirit. And that unclean spirit began to cry out in the middle of the service with Jesus being in there. Hey, demons began to speak through that man's body until Jesus had had enough of it. The Bible says Jesus rebuked him and he said, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." was so real. It was described by the witnesses there that the demon came out of him. Well, that's a weird way to say that. The demon came out of him. And the church folks began talking. They said, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." You see, the winds and the seas obey him. Nature obeys him tonight. Hey, but there's some other part of the world that obeys him. The unseen world, the spiritual world, demons obey him tonight. There was a time when I was lost. Brother Housley was lost. He was without hope and without God. And I was on my direction straight to the paths of hell if God didn't step in and intervene. God didn't need to yell at me. God didn't need to frighten me. God simply needed to whisper in a still, small voice. And I can tell you, I was 9 years old when I responded to that still, small voice. And I began to press into the kingdom, amen. I began to search for Him until I found Him when I called upon Him with all of my heart. And I obeyed His voice to be saved. Are you getting the message tonight? I obeyed from the heart. The voice that speaks over the natural world obeys that everything obeys. Him, the winds and the sea, and the voice that speaks over Satan and says, you can only go so far that Satan has to obey him. And the voice that speaks to the lost and dying sinner, when they hear that voice, they have an opportunity to obey him from the heart. Are we obeying the Lord today? Nature obeys him. The spirits obey him. Lost people, when they have the opportunity, obey him. But now that we're saved, do we obey him? I want to show you some things about obedience that is essential to the Christian life. Number one, obedience is something that God is looking for in your Christian life. Turn to Samuel 15:22. 1 Samuel 15:22. Now, many of you Bible students out there will be quite familiar with the circumstances of the story. I could, but I'm not going to take all the time to do that. But we have here, in essence, an individual by the name of Saul who didn't fully obey God. God wanted him to do something very specific. He was very clear. There's no misunderstanding. There's no uncertainty as to what he was to do. God specifically told him what he was to do. Christian, has God ever told you something specific, clear, definite, defined, that he wants you to do? And friend, how many times do we fail to do the very thing that God... We can never say, "God, I wasn't sure about that." God has made it so clear to us about that. That's essentially what has happened here. And so, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, the Bible says, and Samuel said, "Have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." In other words, no matter what you sacrifice, God would rather you obey than sacrifice. There's people out there, and they think, "Well, I'm going to give up this to be saved. Or I'm going to give up this to have fellowship with God." Honey, you can give up until you whip yourself to death. There's people out there that literally beat themselves with whips when they do wrong. Friend, God would rather you stop all that nonsense and simply obey Him. Amen. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. That's what the judgment was against Saul this time. Good God told him through the prophet Samuel, God would rather you obey him than to commit and you make all these sacrifices. First time the word obedience is referred to in the Bible, if I'm not mistaken, is in Genesis 22:18. Can y'all take a guess who was the one that was obedient? Genesis 22:18. "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, Abraham, because thou hast obeyed my voice." How important is the stories of Abraham and faith of Abraham to the whole Bible? I mean, it's everywhere. Our father Abraham. You know, you hear that expression. Jesus, from the Gospel according to Matthew, it opens up. It says he was the son of Abraham and the son of David. Think about how huge the name Abraham was to the people of faith. And it all started right here because he obeyed God's voice. Obedience is something that God is looking for in your Christian life today. How do I know what God wants me to do? Are you listening to His voice? God speaks to you. Are you obeying Him from the heart? Number two, obedience is something we do at all times unless Scripture teaches us otherwise. Let me park it here just for a minute, if I may. Obedience is something we do at all times unless the Scripture teaches otherwise. So that means if I'm in a public school setting, I obey God at all times, even if nobody else is obeying God. In the ministry, if everybody else is starting to fold around and mess around and commit sin, and they think they're getting away with it, I ought to have enough conscience in my heart to know that my standing and my integrity is to be found in the sight of God, not in the sight of other preachers. I do what I do and preach the way that I preach because my heavenly Father is in the glory world with all the holy angels leaning over the balusters of heaven, and they want to know, are we still preaching the Word of God to the lost and dying? Are we still staying with the Bible? Are we still singing the old hymns of the faith? Are we still praying in the Holy Spirit? God wants to know, are you obeying me tonight? He wants us to obey Him at all times. We go on vacation. We go on vacation with them kids. And you got to remind them. We went down on vacation. I reminded my children. I said, look what I've done for you. We have provided a wonderful vacation for you. Let's just, and I did. Y'all think I'm joking, but I did. Before we got out of the car, I stopped the car because I already know their mind is going at a million miles per hour. I said, look at what I have done for you. Do not get ahead of me. Whatever you think you're going to do, back up. Get behind me. Understand that I am still in control. Respect me. I'm going to make sure you have the best time of your life. But if you so much as start to inch out in front of me with your schedule or agenda, I may teach you. I may take your life. I'm joking. But I made clear that they understood. You have to still obey me. You're not just going to do it. You ask before you go somewhere. You want to go to the pool? You go on to the pool. But you're going to ask me first. That's the way it works. God wants the same thing with us as His dear children. Lord, do you want me to be involved in this? Thank you for asking. That was the right thing to do. Be willing to accept His no. Be willing to accept His yes. Sometimes we don't ask when we should ask, Lord, do you want me to do this? We don't want to ask because we know the answer is yes. Obedience is something we do at all times unless the Scripture teaches us otherwise. Unless God has spoken to you and said, somewhere through the Scriptures, He speaks to reveal to you there's a change of plans. If God said, Abraham, I want you to get up out of the Ur of Chaldees, and I want you to go into the land which I will show you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And that's what God told you to do, Abraham, you better get up and get going. Abraham said, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care how much money is in her right now. I don't care how much the retirement account is in her right now. I really am not concerned about the prices of the goats in her incur or of the counties right now. God told me to go. I'm not exactly sure where, but He said, go and I'll show you. How would you like to do that? Where am I going? I don't know, but He just told me to show me when I get there. Well, that's some faith, ain't it? And the Bible says Abraham obeyed His voice. Obedience. And look how blessed Abraham was. I'm not sure. sure there's ever a time when you can justify doing wrong and committing evil, disobedience. I don't think there's ever a time you can really justify that. I hope y'all are listening tonight. Let's say, for example, the whole world went nuts and crazy. By the way, I think there's some 3,200 counties in America. 3,200 counties. Now, the things that we hear on the news and television and such, I mean, that ain't all 3,200 counties. That's just a few counties in really comparison to the whole thing. Stop and think about that. Some people act like the whole world's shutting down. I don't know where they're getting that information from. But I'll tell you this. What happens if everybody's lost their bearings? What happens if there was lawlessness? You still should obey God. Do you see what I'm saying? Our Constitution is deep in politics. It goes to the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not trying to keep up with the Joneses and the Smiths. I'm trying to keep up with Jesus. I have a hard enough time doing that. Amen. To obey God at all times. How often should I obey God? At all times. Should I obey God? Yes, you should. Sometimes it does good for us to ask and answer those questions. Number three. Obedience is something we do when no one is looking or when everyone is looking. Obedience is something we do, Isaac Cowley, when no one is looking or when everyone is looking. Brother Aaron. Obedience is something we do when no one is looking. We still do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. When God says, I want you to slay the fatted calf, we don't take its head and put it in our bedroom and say, well, I'm going to play with it a little bit longer. He wants us to kill the whole thing. When He says, I want you to give up your sin, then we ought to not take a little piece of it and put it in our pocket like a sweet chocolate and hide and eat on later on. Amen. We ought to take the whole thing and throw it into the fire. And just obey God from the heart. That's what I'm saying tonight. Whether people are looking, people are not looking. I ought to obey God when I'm being watched and when I'm not being watched. Truthfully, the matter is, God's always watching. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, the Bible says. Obedience is something that God is looking for in your life. Obedience is something we do at all times, unless Scripture says otherwise. Obedience is something we do when no one is looking or when everyone is looking. Fourthly, obedience is something that we do from the heart. It would be impossible to get people to live for the Lord if they didn't use their heart. It would be impossible to ask young people to throw away their ungodly music if they didn't do it from the heart. It would be impossible to rip out the cancer of addiction out of a person's life if they themselves don't do it from their own heart. When we obey God, it ought to be something that we do from the heart. He said in this passage right here, He said, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. I want to share a last thought with you, a last verse in Matthew 15:8. Matthew 15:8. I'm done. Obedience. If a person won't obey God, it's very likely that they're going to be. Who are they going to be? Obey. Who is their master? If God would not be their master, then who will be their master? And if it's not God, then anything else is less.
In Matthew 15:8, the Lord spoke to His own disciples and He said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their own mouth." With their mouth. They're drawing to me with their mouth. They come to me in nice flattering words with their mouth and their lips. He said, "But they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me." In vain. It's a worthless form of worship, but they worship me, but there's no worth in it. They're just going through the motions of it. He said, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." He charged His disciples, He said, "Do not do it this way, church." He said, "Obey me from the heart." Christian, are you listening tonight? Take aside everything, unplug, rip it all apart, shred it, bring down the northern cap, and throw it into the river of faith, amen. And go down south and throw away your idols and burn them in the lake of Gehenna, the lake that burns with fire, amen. And just pursue Jesus with all of your heart. If the world follows you, fine. And if the world turns their back on you, then you ought to sing Amazing Grace anyhow. You ought to serve God when it's fun. You ought to serve God when it's hard. You ought to serve God when it snows. And you ought to serve God when the sun's shining. I'm afraid we all obey God at all times.
Do it from the heart. Do it from the heart. We need to consider this tonight. Put our lives above our lips. Put our walk above our talk. Put our faith above our feet. I'm saying to you, we need to take obedience seriously tonight, because God does. That's how important obedience is. Let me give you something. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, as you have tonight. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm glad that you have obeyed from the heart. You're here. Praise the Lord for it. Satan didn't get you out of church tonight. You can go home and say, "Man, I failed in everyone, but I in every other way, but I didn't fail going to church tonight." Yeah. Praise the Lord, devil. Ha ha ha. What's that little dance y'all do on that little game where you do this over here? You can do that to the devil tonight. I was in church, devil. What are you going to do about that?
Amen.
Go down tonight, go have prayer. Some of you can't go and have prayer tonight. And then right before you go to sleep, he says, "That's for you, Satan. You didn't take that from me. I haven't prayed in 3 weeks, but I prayed tonight for 3 minutes. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. What a blessing that is when God's children obey Him from the heart. Well, I wanted to punch him. Oh, Brother Housley, I had my sleeve rolled up. I was getting ready to pull an old Muhammad Ali. I was going to sucker punch that old loud mouth that was running me down and been cussing my name and been trying to hurt my feelings. I was ready to punch him in the head." Well, you didn't. You didn't have to pull. Praise the Lord for it. You ain't in jail tonight. Hallelujah. Your fist ain't, you ain't got your fist covered up in ice. Praise God, you obeyed the Lord. Oh, brother, I was just scared to death. My hand was a trembling. Oh, the hand, that gospel track out there. And the devil was fighting me and said, "Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it." And the Holy Spirit was saying, "Let it go, let it go. Hand the track, hand the track."
You did it. You obeyed. From the heart. There was something inside of you. The Holy Spirit was inside, just cranking that old engine, amen. Put the pedal to the metal and say, "Come on, Christian. Get rid of it. Let it go. Hand the track to them." And you did it. You can say, "What are you going to do with that, Satan?" At least I was able to do that for my Lord. There'll be times, you're a Christian, when the only thing that you can do is just lean on Jesus. You can't fight. You don't even feel like praying. Going to church is just like going to get an old crusty cheeseburger. Y'all listening tonight? May feel like you ain't even getting help in the house of the sanctuary. And all
He ain't got you down yet, Christian.
Those of you that are watching the old preacher tonight, we hope you're enjoying the show.
But most importantly, we hope you get the message. Obedience is the best thing. Obedience will get you through. Lean not into thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean on into thine own understanding. Amen. And God will provide. And God will meet. And God will intervene. And God will work that thing that you're seeking Him to do. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Are you working? Am I working? Are we obeying the Lord? Maybe something God wants you to do tonight is simply to stop doing something. Then you ought to go for it from the heart. Just go for it. All the way. Just go for it. Go get it. Go get it. Amen, Brother Aaron? So when I'm down to that ball in front of you, and you're just thinking, I'm going to get that ball. I'm going to get that ball. I'm like, come on, get that ball. Get that ball. Still, come on. I do that with Isaac. I bounce that ball. Just I put it right there, right there. Come on, right there. Right there. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, you missed it. And you're gone. And I beat you to the goal. I want you to get, as a Christian, I want you to look at that ball. And the devil's tempting you. You say, I'm going to beat it. I'm going to steal it. I'm going to beat him. I'm going to steal it. I'm going to do it. Go get it. Go get it. Go get it, Christian. God's telling you to stop doing something, just stop. Go after it and do it for Jesus' name. God's telling you to do something. What's the story? Then that scripture said, Sister Lee, doesn't say Lee, and then say, what's say, forbade not to do good. Huh? And he doeth it not. To him it is sin. Now that's convicting. Stop and think about that. If you know to do good and you don't do it, to you it is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Those are just scripture verses now. I'm just telling you the Bible. God's telling you not to do something, go get it, Christian. Go after it. Stop doing it. Get rid of it. Throw it away. Be done with it. You say, well, I lasted for 3 hours. Well, praise the Lord, you lasted for 3 hours. Amen. Rejoice in that. Now let's go for four. Huh? Hey, sweet body, the Lord's been dealing with me. I need back off that coffee. It's going to kill me. Honey, I've been drinking 3-4 cups a day with all that sugar. It ain't good for my heart. It's good for my mouth, but it ain't good for my heart. It's not good for my stomach.
Like God told you to not be that.
Yeah, hey, no testimonies against me, sis. Hey, but no, I've been cutting it down, Brother Stephen. I back it down 3.5. Now I got down to 3. Now some people, man, they just say, I'm all in and they're done. Well, praise the Lord. I say, wait, way to go. Sometimes the Lord don't give me the victory like that. I mean, I got to persevere and fight and man, I sweat and just, am I even saved? Huh? Y'all get the message? Just go for it. Don't quit. Keep trying. Keep up. Don't fail. And when you do fail, ask for forgiveness and take another step. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. He won't stay down. Hey, my friend, when the devil comes over, Brother Junior, and he says, why won't you stay defeated? Why won't you stay down? Why won't you just quit? Just get back up again. And you say, I don't know, but there's someone living inside of me that won't let me quit. There's someone living inside of me that won't let me give up. There's someone in here that gets me stirred up to go again another mile.
Yeah. God tells you to do something. Again, you should do it. Whatever it is. Get you some of them gospel tracts. They're free. They're free. Go get you some. Amen. Talk to somebody about Jesus. Preacher included. Whatever it is God's speaking to you tonight, the message is always for obedience. Get in the game. Get engaged. And when you do, you're going to be able to encourage other people to do the same.
But they're not going to do it. Come on. And we're not going to do it. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed, and eyes are closed.